And welcome to all of you, our Starnes Cove family. Lisa and I sure do miss being with you all in our Sunday services, but I am thankful that we have the opportunity to use technology such as this and be able to get together and share the Word of God and rejoice in the Lord. Hey, I love the 23rd Psalm, don't you? And I'm enjoying going through these messages as we look at all the verses of Psalm 23. And so we're going back there again this morning. And I've entitled the message, His Way is the Right Way. His Way is the Right Way. And we're going to read the entire 23rd Psalm and then come back and focus on verse number 3. So in Psalm 23, David, the psalmist, writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I thank God for His Word that we're able to look at and bring a message from this morning. We want to zero in our thoughts on verse 3 of the 23rd Psalm, where David says about our shepherd that he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, we make some good ones and we make some bad ones. When we make a good one, it puts joy in your heart. When we make a bad one, it scars our heart. What am I talking about? I'm talking about decisions. Decisions that we all make in life. Decisions can make you bad. They can make you glad. Or they can make you sad, can't they? Depending on what decision that we make. I heard a story about a man who was walking past a cemetery, and as he was walking past, he saw a man in profound grief there in the cemetery. He had his arms clutched around the tombstone, and he kept saying these words in a loud voice. He kept saying things like this, "Why did you die? Why couldn't you have lived? How could you have left me in such a terrible predicament?" Well, the man who was passing by felt sorry for this man, and in sympathy, he walked over to him and he said, "Sir, I don't wish to interfere with your private grief, but your demonstration of pain is so intense, I just had to come by and say a word. Who are you mourning for? Is it a child?" And the man said, "Oh, no, it's not a child." And then he said, "Well, is it a parent?" And he said, "No, it's not a parent." The man passing by said, "Well, who is it then?" The man responded and said, "My wife's first husband." That's who it is. Now, it wasn't the death of the first husband that caused this man the problem, but the decision to become the second husband, that's where his problems began. I just share that humorous story as a way of saying that we all make decisions, don't we? And some of them are good and some of them are bad. But all of our decisions, for good or bad, they do indeed all have consequences. Well, some of you may be listening to me this morning and you may have made some bad choices. You may have gotten off on the wrong road. And now it's time to come back and to do something about that. And I believe that God will use this passage of Scripture to bring encouragement to your soul today. As we look at Psalm 23 and verse number 3, and think on this particular verse, there are two tremendous truths that I want to share with you today. First of all, I want you to notice When we fall, God lifts us to a place of restoration. Now, let me say that again, because I obviously don't have a PowerPoint or anything on that. And some of you take notes, and I appreciate the fact that you do. Here's this first truth. When we fall, God lifts us to a place of restoration. That's what David is talking about there when he says, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. Now, what does that mean? Well, again, we need to keep in the context of Psalm 23 the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, which is so important in the interpretation of this psalm. Now, one of the dangers that a sheep faces, I mean, sheep face a lot of dangers, to be honest with you, but one of the biggest dangers, one of the most serious dangers that a sheep faces is when it becomes a cast sheep, a cast sheep. Now, what does that mean? Well, it refers to what happens to a sheep when it gets over onto its back and has all four legs sticking up in the air and is unable to get itself back up. Now, you've seen bugs and insects get in that situation, haven't you? Where they get on their back and however many legs they have, they're just going 90 miles an hour. They're trying to turn over and get right side up, but they can't do it. Well, sheep get in the same kind of position, especially if it's a heavy sheep. This sheep may lie down in a little depression on the ground, a little hollow place on the ground, and the sheep sort of rolls over just a little bit, and it loses its balance of gravity, and all of a sudden it's over on its back, and it can't get itself back right side up again. And so when that happens to a sheep, it is referred to as a cast sheep. Now, at this point, when a sheep is cast, it becomes very frightened. Its legs begin to kick and to flail. It bleats and it cries out. It's frightened because the sheep realizes it's in a helpless situation and can't do anything to get himself back right side up again. He is vulnerable. The sheep is vulnerable to buzzards, to vultures, to dogs, to coyotes, to cougars, all that are just simply looking for a cast sheep so that it can have its next meal. So while the sheep is lying there on its back with all fours up in the air, the situation begins to get worse. In that position, the sheep has a lot of gas that begins to form on its stomach. And those gases cause the stomach to expand in such a way that it hardens the stomach and it cuts off the air passage. And if it happens to be a particularly hot day, a sheep could die in just a few hours in a situation like that. Now, beyond that, the blood circulation to the legs is cut off. And so the sheep's legs go numb. And if the weather happens to be cloudy, a sheep might even survive in a situation like that, that agonizing position. It could survive in it maybe even for several days as it struggles to get its breath. But there's not one thing that a sheep can do for itself when it gets into that situation. It must depend upon a shepherd to restore it, to restore its soul. And just like sheep, we too can become cast. We can get ourselves into predicaments that we can't get out of. Sometimes it's because of our own poor choices. Sometimes we get into those predicaments because of circumstances that just come at us from life, seemingly from out of nowhere. We didn't see something coming, and all of a sudden we're caught in the midst of a circumstance that has us on our backs. Sometimes we get into a situation of being a cast sheep because of our own conceit. There are people who say, oh, that could never happen to me. Well, be careful when you say that, because the Bible says pride goes before the fall. Sometimes we think we can stand proudly on our own two feet, and all of a sudden we find the rug pulled out from under us, and all of a sudden we're on our back looking up and saying, God, there's no way that I can get up again. There's no way that I can get out of this situation without you. Well, that's where the Good Shepherd comes to the rescue, because the Good Shepherd sees the cast sheep and realizes that it can't do anything for itself. And so the Good Shepherd comes and prays the Lord, our Good Shepherd, our great and mighty and awesome God. He comes to us, He sees you in your predicament, and He comes where we are, and He sets us back upon our feet again. Now, when a shepherd restores a cast sheep, he doesn't do it immediately. He actually goes through a process of restoring that sheep again. It takes time to restore a sheep. And here's why. The shepherd walks upon a sheep. It's on its back with its legs sticking up in the air. And so the first thing a shepherd has to do is to get some circulation going again in those legs that have grown numb. And so the shepherd begins to massage the legs of the sheep. He begins to move the legs of the sheep around. He gets the blood flow going back in those legs before he does anything else. And after he's spent some time getting blood flow back into the legs of the sheep, he then rolls the sheep gently over onto its side. And he does that so that it will relieve some of the pressure that is on the sheep's stomach, some of those gases that have built up that are causing the sheep to not be able to breathe. He begins to massage the sheep's belly and help the sheep. He begins to speak to the sheep in calm and reassuring tones in order to lower the fear factor. And then finally, after a while, the shepherd gently puts his hand under the sheep's belly and he lifts the sheep up, because it can't stand on its own at this point. Its feet are still so wobbly. And he will just hold that sheep there with its belly in its hand and some of its weight on its feet. And the sheep begins to get its equilibrium back and gain some stability. The blood flow comes back into the legs. And then all of a sudden, the sheep is able to walk on its own and to rejoin the fold. Well, folks, that is a tremendous picture of what our great shepherd does for us. When he sees us in a cast situation, he comes to us, he ministers to us, he gets the blood flowing once again in our lives, he assures us, he calms us, and slowly through a process, he lifts us up and he gets us back on our feet again so that our soul can be restored. You know, there are a lot of things that mankind can restore. We can restore antiques. We can restore clocks. We can restore cars. We can restore painting. We can restore jewelry. But ladies and gentlemen, only God can restore the soul. And if you're in a situation as a cast sheep today, let me assure you of that first truth that we've looked at. When we fall, God lifts us to a place of restoration. But now there's a second truth that I want to see in this verse, and that second truth is this. When we falter, God leads us to the path of righteousness. And I'll repeat that again. When we falter, God leads us to the path of righteousness. You see, the next part of that verse there in Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, He restores my soul. And then it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So the Good Shepherd not only feeds the flock, He leads the flock. He leads us. He not only provides for us, but He guides us as well. He not only protects the flock, but He directs the flock in the paths of righteousness. Now, here's something interesting about sheep. Sheep have extremely poor vision. I know you've never seen a sheep wearing glasses or contact lens, but seriously, if you study about sheep, you'll find out that they have poor vision. They can only see about 10 feet in front of them. That's as far as they're able to see clearly at all. And that's why sheep tend to wander away. That's why they get separated from the flock. They can't see well. No wonder that Isaiah prophesied about us in Isaiah 53, verse 6, and he says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." Sometimes we don't have 20/20 spiritual vision, do we? And sometimes we can get on the wrong road, and sometimes we can go astray and get our eyes off the path. When sheep don't follow the shepherd, they always get off on the wrong path. Now, the Palestinian shepherd who's out there, he's familiar with the trails. He knows if the trail is a safe trail. He knows if it's a trail that's been made by a wild animal that may be laying in wait. He knows all about these trails. But to a sheep, every trail looks the same. One appears to be just as good as another. Kind of reminds me of the passage in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 that says, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's how it is. And so sheep have to depend upon the shepherd to lead and to guide and to direct. You see, the good shepherd will always lead us in the right path. He will lead those sheep, as I preached last week, to green pastures and still waters. He will lead them to good places. And this passage says that He leads us in the paths of righteousness. You see, there's one thing we need to realize about our shepherd. He always bats 1,000. He never misses. He never makes a mistake. He never makes a bad decision. God will always guide you in the paths that are best for you and that are right for you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." And so this path that God leads you on His path, there's no darkness, there's no danger, there's no disappointment. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." Well, even though sheep have poor eyesight, they can still stay on the right path as long as they follow the shepherd. And that's the challenge to you and me here today that I want to close with. Let's stay close to the shepherd so we can see Him, so we can follow the Lord as He leads us along the way in this life. I love the statement by Corrie Ten Boom. She used to say this. She said, "Never be afraid to trust a future that you don't know to a God that you do know." That's a great statement, isn't it? Never be afraid to face or never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God that you do know. None of us know what's ahead. We're facing some uncertain days and uncertain times right now in the midst of COVID-19. And we're trying to figure this thing out and figure what a new normal is going to look like. But I can assure you this, we're going to be fine. You're going to be fine as long as you keep your eyes on the shepherd. There was a little boy, that three-year-old boy, who followed his mom around everywhere she went in the house. He'd never done that before. But this particular day, He followed her everywhere she went. This little boy was right on his mom's heels, and she kept trying to get him to do something else, to go color in the coloring book, or to go do some other things, to watch one of his cartoon videos or something. And the little boy said, "No, Mom, I'm just enjoying being right here with you. I want to be here with you." And so the little boy stayed right on the mother's heels. And finally, she sort of got tired of it. She almost stepped on the little boy a few times. And finally, the mother just turned around and said, "Now, son, you've been following me around for hours today. Why is it that you keep following me so closely?" And the little boy said this. He said, "Well, last Sunday morning in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher told us that we are supposed to walk in Jesus' footsteps. And since I can't see Jesus, I decided that I would just follow in your footsteps instead." Hey, let's follow so close to the shepherd that others could follow our footsteps and they could be on the right path too. Well, let's develop our relationship closer with God, with the shepherd. And why does he lead us in these paths of righteousness? He has something on the line, this passage says. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The name of God is at stake here. And God is not going to lead you down a wrong road. God is not going to make a mistake in what he directs you to do. You can trust him. You can believe him. You can follow him. So the shepherd, the good shepherd, has a job. He's to lead the sheep. And the sheep just have one job, and that's to follow the shepherd. And when we do it for the glory of his name, we can always know that his way is the right way.